So I'll just say a few closing words, and then we are honored to have Professor Joe Margulies from Northwestern here. And is Len Goodman here? No, he's expected. And then we'll have a little Q&A as well. I told you about my first occasion seeing this, and the day that I saw this film, in addition to Sig Leibowitz being there, Kate Mulgrew was there as well. So after the film, she came out and to sit down on the panel, and I was a little scared, you know, because she's kind of a tough cookie in the movie. And she got up on the panel, and the first words out of her mouth were, "I made this film because I think our Constitution has been driven off the rails, and it is up to every one of us to do something to fix this." And I found that very moving, and I started to think at that moment, what can I do? And so I would encourage all of you, if you take nothing more away from today's screening and discussion, to take up that challenge. What can you do? Because we really all have to be participants in getting our country back. So with that, maybe I'll ask Professor Margulies to make some comments about civil liberties, Guantanamo, and how they fit together.
Good afternoon. I'm Joe Margulies. So I didn't read the little blurb that of the bio about me in the. I saw that there was one. So I don't know how much is reported in there about my involvement in this work. One of the things that they mention in that is a case called Rasul. There were two cases that there have been several cases from the Guantanamo that have gone to the Supreme Court, and the very first one was Rasul, and that was my case. I was counsel of record in that case. I've been involved in Guantanamo detentions, post 9/11 detentions, litigation surrounding that since before there was a Guantanamo, because we started planning the litigation before the first prisoners arrived at the base. The first prisoners arrived at the base 10 years ago next Wednesday, which is the reason why there's going to be protests that day. January 11th of 2002 is when the first prisoners got to the base. So I have the benefit of an extraordinarily, uniquely long, it is a uniquely long perspective on this. From when I first got involved, which was November of 2001, which was when the announcement was first made that, hey Len, that prisoners were going to be held at a place. We didn't know then that it was Guantanamo. We didn't know that until December of 2001. But that's when I and colleagues at the Center for Constitutional Rights in New York started planning the litigation that became Rasul. You can't hear me? No, I cannot get closer to the mic. Can we do anything with this? I mean, I'm as close to the mic as I can be. I've never been in a room this size where I've been told that people can't hear me. That's really, that's a first for me. Yeah, there are spaces up here. And so I have seen the response, if you will, by the government, by two administrations, really three administrations, because the second Bush administration was very different than the first Bush administration vis-a-vis Guantanamo. I have seen the response of the press over time. I have seen most prominently the response of the United States public, the public square, if you will. And it's really an extraordinary thing. It is really an extraordinary thing for me that I cannot quite fully understand why on a lovely, we're not going to get very many January days like this, why on a January day like this there are so many of you here to engage one more time in questions about, or yet one more time, in questions about Guantanamo. Why it is that Guantanamo became this iconic symbol of something. And apropos of that, it seems only fair to tell you, in fact, it seems particularly important to tell you, a number of things. One, the gentleman who's, the first part of this, everything that took place in the hearing, is based on actual transcripts. The second part is a fictionalized account of what they think might have taken place during these deliberations. The second part's not based on transcripts. That's the first thing. The second thing is, the gentleman about whom they are discussing, the gentleman who was the subject of that, has since been released. He's home. The Guantanamo has held roughly 800 people in its peak. That's the most that were ever there. There's now 172, 171, something like that. As long as we're talking about the rule of law, you should know that the proceeding that you watched, which is really very accurate, I mean, it's very reliable account of what it is that takes place in those, is something called the Combatant Status Review Tribunal, which was created precisely for the purpose they describe, that is, nominally, to determine whether the person had been appropriately classified as an enemy combatant. It was meant to be all the process that the person received. They created this tribunal first, in order to defeat the litigation in Rasul, so that when Rasul reached the Supreme Court, they were able to say, Supreme Court, don't do anything. We've created this, so therefore you don't need to do anything. And then they created it after we won in Rasul. They implemented it to say, all right, now that we've created this and the person has been found to be an enemy combatant by our tribunal, that should have some binding effect on what a court does. That is, it should have some presumptive weight. The Supreme Court has rejected both of those arguments, and they no longer conduct these tribunals. So as long as we're talking about the rule of law, you should understand that those tribunals, though they were in place, precisely how they were described here, were struck down by the United States courts as a violation of due process. They were not sufficiently robust to give the person adequate process. And that view, when it was in the Supreme Court, secured 5 votes. It did not secure 4 votes. But these tribunals no longer take place. A person at Guantanamo now has a right to challenge the lawfulness, and this is what we won in Rasul and later won a second time in a case called Boumediene, has a right to go to the federal district court in the District of Columbia and challenge their detention by seeking a writ of habeas corpus. So habeas has not been suspended for them. And there's a lot of loose talk about what is and isn't the law and what is and isn't a violation of the Constitution. And I think that as someone who has devoted the better part of nearly full time for the last 10 years and a longer period of time than any other lawyer in the world on this, I think we do ourselves a disservice by being casual and cavalier in the language that we use. And so quick to say that the Constitution has been shredded. It is, in fact, much more accurate to say that the Constitution has been honored in form, but not in substance. And that, of course, is vastly more dangerous. By creating the appearance of lawful form, you assure the great majority of people, the great and overwhelming majority of people, that all is well, and that we have followed the path we always follow in moments of tumult, when we immediately overreact, but then later reclaim our moral values and the fog lifts and we get back to the place we're supposed to be. It's this great myth of deviation and redemption, and we get back to our true charter and we adhere to our great moral covenant. And one of the principal ways that that happens in a very legalistic society is you reclaim the mantle of the law. We are now behaving in a lawful way. The myth of deviation and redemption is so profound and so strong and believed so implicitly a recognition that we make mistakes, but then we correct them ourselves. And so the charter of the American creed is sort of self-correcting, auto-correcting, that it makes it almost impossible to penetrate in a larger audience what in fact is happening. We have the formal reclamation of the Constitution. The guys at Guantanamo now have a constitutionally protected right to challenge the lawfulness of their detention in a court, in front of a real judge who wears a robe and is, you know, confirmed by Congress and Article III court, blah, blah, blah. The substance of that right, however, has been so denuded and so stripped of its content as to be effectively the same as what this, as what you're seeing there. Every bit as frustrating, every bit as whimsical and arbitrary as far as the guy is concerned, and the lawyers. They now have the right to lawyers. They now have the right to lawyers going down there. Len has been there many times. I have been there many times. I'm going again in a few weeks. I was one of the first lawyers to go once we were allowed after Rasul came down. I now represent, my client is a gentleman named Abu Zubaydah, who is one of the high, supposedly high-value people, my current client, I've had a number of clients there, who is the person for whom the torture memos were written. That is, the torture memos were written to justify his interrogation. He was the first person waterboarded. He was waterboarded 83 times in the month of August of 2002 alone. He had all of the enhanced interrogation techniques applied to him. In fact, some that were not authorized were applied to him before the list was codified, because he was the first and he was the guinea pig. So I'm one of the few people in the world who actually knows what these interrogation techniques are. They actually know what it is that was done to him. I can't tell you. I can't tell the court because of the classified status of it. Although much of his interrogation has become public, has been leaked through various sources, not through me. So Guantanamo is now about the appearance of lawful form, and that, as so much of the post 9/11 response, and that is much more nefarious and much more difficult than merely what you see here, which is remarkably well done, but no longer our problem. Our problem is a much more insidious one, not one that is well served, unfortunately, by just holding up the Constitution and saying it has been shredded. Because unfortunately, they can point to a very clear Supreme Court decision that says, as well as pronouncements by the President of the United States saying they have a constitutional right and all these cases are going to court, what possibly more could you want than the observance of legal form?